Good evening, everyone. It's been 1 year, and the focus this evening is on keeping the ways of the Lord from 2 Samuel chapter 22. So we all know that the final few chapters of 2 Samuel also mark the last and final chapters of the life of King David. We read of some events that took place in these chapters. His troops didn't allow him to battle with them due to his age. He began the handing over of reign to Solomon. He is known as the Sweet Psalmist of Israel. The psalm recorded in chapter 22 was organized into the book of Psalms as Psalm 18. So the focus is on verse 22, "For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God." You might think that the time of David wasn't as hard as our time, with the stresses of life, competition, temptation in every corner we turn. David had his fair share of struggles with sin and failures, betrayers, and also being hated by those close to him. It is not his ability that caused him to prevail. It is by the faithfulness of God. There are a few lessons we can learn from David's confession in verse 22. David kept the ways of the Lord. Ways here means commands, principles, paths. In order to keep the ways of the Lord means you first have to know them well. As a follower of Christ, you need to know the master's instructions. A soldier could not commence combat without the ops orders. A chef could not cook a dish without knowing what was ordered. If we are ignorant, we will soon become ineffective, discouraged, and disillusioned. All that we need to know from the Lord is recorded in His Word. And we go to the next slide. From a 2021 survey by the American Bible Society of U.S. Christians, it was found that only about 1 out of 6 adults, that's about 16%, reads the Bible most days of the week. The rest barely reads the Bible, though many are professing Christians. I think the statistics are quite similar to what Elder Ben Kiong mentioned on last Sunday. Among those who read the Bible, it is when and whatever is comfortable, blending into their lifestyle. In the recent years, there's a term in use, especially in the US, known as syncretism, embracing points of views or actions that are comfortable or convenient. There's a general loss of appetite for objective truth or things that are difficult. Fluffy and soft teachings are better welcome than hard doctrines. So based on this preference, many modern churches are feeding their members with a diet of baby food, milk, puree, not a strong meat that will build them up. You go to the next slide. So in a book written by the retired senior pastor of Moody Church in Chicago, Dr. Erwin Lutzer, he mentioned the tension between truth and truthiness. So truthiness here means the teaching of truth, tainted by feelings, compassion, cultural views. So sometimes we read or we hear people saying that, oh, God is more tolerant now than in Old Testament days, tainted by our own personal opinion. Also, the public promotion of love and kindness in social matters, regardless of the merit. So God's truths are diluted, turned into superficial truthiness as a result. So we are not surprised to hear of mainstream Christians supporting liberal programs. So to be of use to the Lord, we need to devote time to read the Bible, study in depth to understand the truths. We learned from last Sunday that God's word is quick and powerful, it is sharp. So make time to study via the ministries that are available for us. We go to the next slide. This is something I live on from our church website. Okay, nothing that's unfamiliar to us. We have fellowship groups, NBC, Sunday school, ERBC lectures. Everything, the ministry that is available for us to learn and study God's word in depth. While in the US, I came across free online classes from the BBN Bible Institute. I made a point to log in on Saturday mornings. That's to the best of my ability, right? I have to confess. To complete 1 or 2 lessons every Saturday, aim to complete 1 module a month and get a certificate. We know that the more we know, the more we study, the better equipped we are. Okay, the Bible is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, our source of knowledge to make us behave wisely in this sinful world. So after knowing the ways, we need to keep the ways. Okay, when we talk about keeping the ways, it demands action, determination, and convictions. David is known as a man after God's own heart. He knew the instructions of the Lord, demonstrated them in action. I just want to share a few of the examples. He defended God's name. The reason why he took on Goliath was not for the love of fighting. It was because Goliath defiled the name of God. Okay, we learned that from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. His focus was on restoring God's glory, not on gaining personal glory. Second point, he obeyed Saul and served him despite the hostility. He remained humble, behaved himself wisely. And, you know, it was mentioned that he behaved himself wisely in 1 Samuel chapter 18. It was mentioned three times. It was never easy to obey a difficult superior, but David trusted in God. He behaved wisely throughout. He was honorable. He didn't kill Saul, the Lord's appointed, when he had his chances. How hard it is to forgive someone who hurt you or for you to forego the opportunity to fight them. But David did what was right in God's eye. And lastly, he subdued the enemies as a new king. He got to work immediately, expanded the borders, set up Jerusalem as a new capital, knowing it is God's will for the kingdom under his care. So that's David, right? So like David, maybe strive to keep God's ways in whatever opportunity we have. Next slide, I'd like to share one illustration about Corrie Ten Boom. She was a Christian who was involved in the Dutch resistance and sheltered Jews during the World War II in the Netherlands. I think most of us will know her story. Subsequently, her family was arrested and placed in a concentration camp in Germany. So in her biography and an interview, he related an incident during her speaking invitation in a church in Berlin after the war. That was 1947. She spoke about her faith, her experience, and the call for forgiveness. So after the service, a man came to her who said, "Ah, Miss Ten Boom, I'm glad to see you." So who was this man? So this man explained he was a prison guard of the camp where her older sister died. He became a believer after the war, led a new life as a Christian, and would like to ask for forgiveness from her. So Corrie Ten Boom, in her testimony, recollected that at that point in time, she was filled with anger. Why would God save such a man? Why should I forgive him for what he has done to my family? All this after her testimony of love and forgiveness. We know that it is easy to talk, harder to walk the talk. Using the strength of the flesh, we struggle at the first instance to do what is right in God's eye. Hence, we need absolute obedience and do what is right based on the strength of the Spirit. If you are interested to find out more, you can watch the YouTube on the testimony of this account. It's only 7 minutes long. So back to David. In chapter 22, it is a thanksgiving psalm. David said that it was a faithful God who made him strong. Not because he was strong himself, not because he was great. It was a faithful God who made him strong, gave him strength, like hinds feet, verse 34, gave him skills to war, girded him with strength to battle. David was weak, but his God is strong. God will provide the strength if we strive to do what is right, despite that the world may laugh at us. Doing so will reflect his glory, a shining testimony in this crooked world, an open book for others to read and get to know Christ. So may this be our daily prayer. In the next slide, a verse from Psalm 119. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. We pray the Lord will deal bountifully with us, that we will live and keep his word. We know David was not without his flaws and sins. After penning this psalm in chapter 22, David was in fact punished by God for counting his troops. We can read that in 2 Samuel chapter 24. At a ripe old age, and despite the years of long service, he was after all a sinner saved by grace. How many mighty men have fallen due to pride? Okay, my last slide is referring to a verse from Romans 12:3. As a sinner saved by grace, we need to be vigilant at all times. Temptations are everywhere. We may fall if we think ourselves more highly than we ought to think, and to think soberly according to what God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So may the Lord help us that we will continue to know God's way and walk his way and to keep his way. So may the Lord deal with us bountifully. Thank you.